Baby, could you? I got too much on my mind right now. I ain't got the time to get you set. Welcome to Raptor Football Weekly. This is our fourth episode for season three. We want to thank our sponsor, Custom One, for their generous support of the Raptor football program and the use of our equipment. I'm here with Scott Holdeman and Coach Fritzy. And with that, I'll kick it over to you, Scott.
Thanks, John. Hi, folks, and welcome to another edition of Raptor Football Weekly with head coach Dan Fritzy. You know, we do this in the office of the locker room. A lot of rain out there today. I have to say the smell in here is exceptionally pungent,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that will happen in football season with the rain for sure.
Yeah, you know,
get and used to it.
It smells exactly how I remember it when I was playing
exactly.
football.
It's the same.
Exact same smell. Yep. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you end up embracing it.
It brings you back. Yeah.
It does.
So anyway, last week, lost to the Stillwater Ponies 24-6. Really tough offensive night. Cedric Tomes was 15 for 25. 142 yards passing, no touchdowns and one interception. On the ground, Nasser Greer led with only 33 yards on six carries. Defensively, Henry Byrne and Ben Knopp each had seven total tackles, while Cal Visselman had six solo tackles. Coach, watching the game, it seemed just really difficult for the offense to establish any kind of rhythm early on. I mean, yards are really just hard to come by.
Yeah, I mean, they're good. They're a good team, and we knew that was going to be tough going in, and we had to move a couple guys around in new spots. And, you know, I think in that first drive, we did some nice things. And that if I had to do it over again, I think I would have punted on that fourth and seven and try to pin them deep and play more of a defensive game. But I just really thought that we needed to score first and at all costs.
Yeah.
So I was maybe a little aggressive there. But when you look back at the film and it looks like, oh, man, we're struggling and this and that, we did some really good things. And we would mess up one little thing and they would run our linebacker through or something. And it looked like a bad play. But, man, it was a really well-executed play that just one of those things where I feel like, later in the season, it's not going to happen. But
sure.
At what point does that shift? We don't know. And so those are little things we got to clean up.
I mean, you had the fourth down play early on, and then there was a decision also on that second drive, I think you had, to go for a fourth down. It was a fourth and one on your own 29. You didn't get it, and you're down 7-0 at that point. Talk about that decision.
Yeah, that one I don't regret at all. I would do that again. Yeah. What happened was, you know, we run our wedge dive play, and when teams overplay the inside, sometimes we'll change the angle of the fullback, and we something happened where our fullback ran on the field late, and we didn't see, and we didn't change the angle.
Yeah.
And if you see that later in the game, we ended up hitting the dive and getting first downs.
Yeah.
And so in my mind, we're behind. We're the underdogs. We can't give the ball back to they got a really good offense. They have a great old line, great quarterback, running back, receiver, and we just can't give the ball right back like that. I'm going for it every single time.
Yeah.
And that's kind of situation. Doesn't mean every fourth and one from your own 29, but in that game, in that situation, we just got to execute better, and I got to have our guys better prepared on that type of defense against our dive.
So the kids get jacked up for that? I mean, when they're coming out fourth and down, or they just kind of know that that's their mentality and that's what's going to happen?
We talk about it all the way back in the summer. When we do our install, we talk about situations and what we're going to do in fourth downs. And the kids know and they embrace it. And they want to be that kind of team that goes for it. And we say to them, we have to have the mentality that fourth and one doesn't matter the situation, we're going for it. And we're going to get it. And, you know, that's on me. And I just don't see that as an issue going forward. But it didn't matter right there. I mean, it hurt us.
So, I mean, Mazari Matias was a beast. He had 164 yards on 25 carries, one touchdown. He's just a hard kid to bring down.
Yeah.
He reminds me a lot of Dominic London.
Yeah.
Honestly. Just kind of that short bowling ball kind of runner.
Like a bigger version of him.
Yeah. I mean, how was your defense against him? I mean, what do you...
You know, our defense played really well. We just had a hard time tackling.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine we spent a lot this week on tackling drills.
Yeah.
We just had a lot of missed tackles. And then the times where we could have had them bottled up, you know, we'd miss an assignment here and there, just real small things. But against a team like that, if you're just in the wrong gap by half of a gap, and he can slip through and bust one, and now he's in the secondary and you're in trouble. And I just really think that, and I told the Star kids, you know, if they're a really good team, and I would be confident playing them again. I'm not not that we can guarantee anything, but we could execute better on both sides of the ball and play with that team. And so our kids are like, hey, you played a really good team. You didn't play well, and you were still right there.
Yeah.
So what are we going to look like when we actually play well and we're doing the right things all week and in the game, and we can hang with a really good team like that?
Well, you know, the stats were fairly lopsided. I mean, with the rushing stats especially, you gave up 206 yards on the ground. You had 57 on your end. But the time of possession was not. I mean, you had 26 minutes time of possession. So, like what you're saying, yeah, I mean, you were it seems not great on paper, but, like, playing it out, it wasn't as bad.
One thing in high school is the rushing stats. When you get sacked, it goes against your rushing stats. And,
sure.
And that, so, you know, when we're pressing and we're getting sacked, and some of those big losses, that goes against it. So I do like to look at first downs and time of possession if I'm looking at anything. But for us, we wanted to hold the ball, and I know we had the one long drive. Mm-hmm. I think it was 18 plays, 90 yards. With that, you know, our kids like, okay, we execute on that drive, and then the other drive we did one little thing to mess us up, and we had to, and we're off the field. So it's there for you. You can see that you're capable of it, and the stats, I'm not really worried about that. You know, defense, it's like, okay. If we're actually making tackles and in the right gaps, those stats aren't as lopsided, and we're still in the game. Third quarter, you know, it's 17-6.
Coach, at every level, we talk about tackling.
Yeah,
and it seemed like he would get in the hole, and he did. He could just jump.
Yeah,
and tackling's changed a lot over the years with the Gator tackle. And can you said it was a priority this week? Can you just talk about how it's changed and what the philosophy is now?
Back in the day, if you were coming in an angle on a running back, you were taught to get your head across so he couldn't cut back, and that you're getting your head across to his far hip and driving through. Now we teach to have your head on the backside, which takes your head out of the tackle. Mm-hmm. And then we also teach the Gator tackle, which is essentially without breaking down, you're running through down low on the legs, and then you're rolling it like you're wrestling an alligator. And I don't know if we didn't really do a good job of that. And I don't know if we didn't do it enough or whatever it was, but I know that we talked a lot this week. Okay, we're going to do more tackling drills than we normally do, because for whatever reason, our team, the kids in our defense need it. And you look back, and like you said, kids on all levels need that and that form of doing it. And a lot of what the technique comes from is that Pete Carroll from the Seattle Seahawks made this head out of tackle technique famous. And the heads up USA football all does it. ERA does it. And we do it. It's all the same. And we just got to get better at it. And at the same time, you're playing arguably the best back in the state. You know, that kid and the Maple Grove kid are kind of clones of each other, and they're just really good. But it doesn't mean we can't bring them down in certain situations, so that was a little bit frustrating.
Talk to our coaches in the ERA program then.
Yeah.
What are some drills that we could be doing to make sure that we're prioritizing that?
Yeah, so we film our drills, and we put up our drills on a Google Drive for all of our youth ERA coaches. And it's really just mimicking the Seattle Seahawks coaching, which is all just heads up stuff.
Right.
So, I mean, you got to cram a lot into a week of practice. You don't have many days to prepare. There's a lot of film and things like that. So when you're talking about, you know, seeing things from this game, and it's okay, like this week we're working on tackling drills. I mean, what percentage of, you know, practice during the week is just kind of, you know, tailored to improving things from the game of last week?
Yeah, that's a good question. So if we're emphasizing tackling, for this week specifically, we said we're going to tackle every single day, except maybe today. Mm-hmm. So Monday through Wednesday, we're normally, you know, last year we might do a tackling circuit just on Tuesdays. So we're adding two extra days of that emphasis. You know, for offense, you know, one week it might be, well, we really struggled on pass pro. So we're going to, instead of doing pass pro once a day, we're going to do it twice a day. And so wherever that emphasis is, we have to plug that into practice because you do have to balance your individual technique drills with your execution and whatever you're working on offense and defense. And that is really comes down to drill to drill, minute to minute. And that's a tough thing. You know, I meet with our defensive coordinator every night to go and plan practice. And you're 3 minutes here, 5 minutes there, and 6 minutes there, and you can't be off schedule. And how do you plug in this drill and not sacrifice something else. And it's just really those conversations with the assistant coaches to figure out what we need in each session of our practices.
Yeah, and how long during the week, how long do you have for practice?
So typically we will practice 2 hours a day.
Okay.
Every day. We'll go a little under 2 hours on Monday and a little under 2 hours on Thursday because Monday's a lot more film. Mm-hmm. And then Thursday, you know, it's a day before a game, but usually we're just under 2 hours.
So in the running game, you're still utilizing a lot of backs. There's a lot of backs that are getting a lot of carries here. Are you okay with this type of committee, or are you looking for somebody to break out?
We're always looking for somebody to break out at any position, yep. Right? And so the issue is if you're using guys who play other spots, then it becomes committee by default, right? Yep. Because like if you're using a Henry Byrne or something like that, who plays outside linebacker on defense, well, he can't play running back every snap because running right. back is the most demanding position physically on the entire, on either side of the ball. The running back gets more tired than any other player.
Yeah.
And so that's why you have to be careful. So we're just in a position depth wise, we don't really have a choice. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to be back committee. Unless somebody who doesn't play another position steps up, which I, you know, we'll see.
So, I mean, the third quarter, you start gaining some momentum. You know, you make it a 17-6 ball game. You know, things are starting to shift a little bit. Cedric has a great designed run, cannot finish this off from short yardage. Next drive, you got him long. You got him at third and long.
Yeah.
And they're 22-yard line. I mean, you're pretty much off the field. I was pretty low in the stadium in this game, so I couldn't really see the play too much. But and we're not going to sit here and talk about refs and things, but that was a momentum-killing drive.
Yeah, well, so you're sitting there. You're down 17-0. You score. It's still the third quarter.
Yeah.
A little over a minute to go in the third – 2 minutes to go in the third quarter, and you have to decide to onside kick or not because their offense is that good, mm-hmm. right? And we're – you know, not that our defense can't get a stop, but – you're just running out of time. And so when you decide to do that, and so we just decided it's still the third quarter, we're going to get a touchback because mm-hmm. we had, you know, fortunately at Ryerson, that it was an automatic touchback. I think he was making it through the uprights on the touchback again.
Oh, yeah.
And so we'll take the guaranteed touchback, put the ball in the 20, and if we get a 3-and-out, you know, their punter's not great.
Yeah.
We could potentially get the ball at midfield and still be in the third quarter. And so to get them into that position, and we called an aggressive third down play.
Oh, yeah.
And we brought heat, and he had to get rid of the ball. And when the receiver not looking and the ball being nowhere near him, it was a frustrating flag. And what I was told is, well, it was before the ball came out. I mean, he called a holding, which, you know, it's tough. There's no way to slice it. It's tough. And I said, okay. And there's nothing more you can say or do.
Yeah.
The tough part is it just felt like our kids did everything right. We had the momentum. Yeah. Our defense made plays. All those things we talked about earlier about making mistakes and being in the wrong spot. Now they're in the right spot. They made the play, and then it gets taken away from you. And then that's a backbreaker. And then when they go down and score, it was really tough. I mean, but, you know, our kids still didn't quit even at that point, which was great to see.
Yeah, and again, these are all lessons that you learn, right, throughout the season. And kind of definitely. Points back. You know, so defensively, like we talked earlier, this is kind of an entirely new scheme that you guys are playing this year. You've had some tough opponents, but 3 weeks in, how are you liking the scheme?
I love the scheme. I absolutely love the scheme. I don't think our scheme in general as a base will change anytime soon.
Yeah,
it's just about getting deep into it, getting deeper into the playbook, and getting our kids comfortable with the different aspects of it. And also, I know one thing that I put on our coaches and our defense is we would like to, I want to see more movement out of our kids on defense pre-snap and really show more havoc because I think they're so concerned right now about getting into the right spot.
Yeah.
And now once they get comfortable, now they can start getting to that next level of confusing the offense. And I think we're close to getting there.
Yeah.
It's tough when you move guys around or a kid gets hurt and you're in that spot where you're not sure if a kid's going to, he's got to back up three different spots. And
right.
so now they're practicing so many different areas, but I really think our kids love it. They're embracing it. Our coaches love it. I love it. And I just think that by the end of the year, our defense is going to have it going.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I want to talk a little bit about Woodbury's defense because they do a lot of movement and things like that, but we'll get to that in a little bit. You know, so again, you know, lots of rivalry in this schedule, but, you know, obviously this is a big one. You know, there's no real let up here in your schedule.
No.
Tomorrow night we got intercity rival Woodbury. And to add some pageantry to this, you travel down to TCO in Eagan. Now, you've done this for a few years in a row. Is it much different playing an away game down there than it is just any other away game?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, just even this the security, you know, of it. But it's just awesome. It's just so fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's starting to feel like our home away from home. Our kids are used to it, and having the big scoreboard, having the stands nice and tight around you, and just being in the Vikings practice facility, it just feels really great and exciting, and it's absolutely different, and we can't wait.
Yeah, it's a great facility. If you haven't been there, I really highly recommend it. I imagine there's a lot of excitement from the kids, especially for those who haven't played there yet.
Tons, and they've been talking about it. Students been talking about it. Players are excited just to be there, and we hope to continue to go there. And the whole thing is, are you willing to give up a home game to go play there? And I have always said yes, absolutely, and because our kids want to.
Yeah.
And that's all I need to hear.
It's not far either.
It's not right down the road.
You know, Woodbury's coming off a victory versus White Bear Lake. That was kind of a sleepy game, but they had a big fourth quarter where they scored 21 and pulled away. Going back to their defense, I mean, they play a base 3-4, but they got a lot of movement with their four linebackers and their cornerbacks, too. They seem pretty aggressive on defense, and it seems to cause some big reward, but also some big risk for them.
They're a defensive team, and, you know, they have a new D coordinator. They switched to the 3-4, but they still will shift into some four down line principles, which is kind of their old scheme. So the shell of their DBs is still the same as it was close. And some of their adjustments are the same, but they slide around on the defensive front a lot, which makes it really difficult. They really do a good job of stemming their safeties to make it look like it's like cover two, and they'll roll down and it's cover three or it's cover zero. And it does make it difficult, and they got some big boys inside that really can control the game. And what they're able to do is keep their team in the game and force you to make a mistake, whether it's in the special teams or a turnover. And that is you know how they're designed to win games, and it's effective because you're in every game.
Yeah,
you're in the game. You can beat a team that is better than you or equal to you, and just because you're in the game, and all it takes is a few mistakes, and they'll take it from you.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly what happened with them at White Bear Lake. I mean, it was just back and forth, nothing going for three quarters. Yeah. Then White Bear Lake, they score. Woodbury scores, White Bear Lake muffs a punt, and they're completely out of the game.
Yeah, and they're just waiting for that moment, you know, and they're playing close to the vest on offense, and, you know, it works, and winning with defense works, and that's what they've actually done for years now, and they've used their defensive line as their anchor, and they got another good one this year.
You know, I'm not sure what to make of them offensively. I wouldn't say that there's a standout on offense, but, you know, they spread the ball around a ton.
Yeah.
And I think collectively they're very dangerous.
Yeah, they have a really good receiver, number 7, who you have to account for all the time, and they have a good running back. They, you know, I think they've been searching for their identity a little bit.
Yeah.
And what I told our coaches, I have no doubt that they'll find it by the time they play us. Yeah. I have no doubt. And I know that they're ready for us like they always are. And rivalry games are different. They just are. It doesn't matter how good each team is. It really doesn't. It's just a different animal. And our kids are excited for it and ready for it. And I am too. But you just never know what's going to happen in this kind of game.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, we've talked about this a lot this year. Just, I mean, you got a rivalry game almost every week.
Yeah,
and
which is fun.
It's a lot of, right, but it consumes a lot of energy, I imagine. So, I mean, are kids able to, like, okay, we got to flush this game against Florida or against Forest Lake. We got to flush against Silver. We got to get right back up against Woodbury.
Are they able? Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Yeah.
And that's really, you might come down to individual kid, individual teams. Some years we've struggled to move on from games, whether it's a win or loss. Some years we've done a good job, and we'll see. You know, we talked about, you know, wins or losses galvanizing a team. Well, I want to really see how our team responds in this type of situation, because it's going to be nuts there. You know, we're talking about high school kids going into the Viking stadium with a lot of fans there, being real loud and a lot of energy, and kids can have a hard time with that sometimes.
Yeah.
And we've talked to our kids about that, and just about actually embracing it and enjoying it and playing with that, and with fun, just really wanting to have fun in the game instead of playing with nerves.
Yeah.
but we'll see. You just never know.
So I came into the locker room here today, and you had some scheduling issues with practice and the rain, and pretty raucous in here.
Yeah,
and, come to learn that it was a big game of paper rock scissors. Talk a little bit about what was going on in there. Sure.
Okay. So first of all, there's a lot of controversy on, is it paper rock scissors, rock paper scissors. Apparently it's rock first. I don't know. But we have an O-line D-line challenge every Thursday or the day before the game. And we come up with different games, whether it's a penalty shootout or you got to catch a long punt or you got to make a field goal or something like that. And it's the O-line versus the D-line only. Okay. No one else gets to play. And the winner of the challenge gets to eat dinner first. And then the loser of the challenge eats after them. And then so if the O-line wins, the offense eats after the D-line. Okay. Right. And then if the D line wins, the offense eats completely last. Right. Okay. So it's a big deal. They get into it. And we had everything set up outside today and the sirens went off. So we came inside into the locker room and we did, you know, rock, paper, scissors,
paper, rock, scissors,
one V one. And this, what you heard is what I experience with this team all the time. They get as nuts as a crazy fan watching their favorite team this happen. And it's so fun for me that they're like that with each other all the time. And I think they just really enjoy each other's company. And that's my favorite thing.
Oh, that's great. That's really funny. Yeah. That's all we have time for, Coach. Thanks again for your time here tonight. And good luck tomorrow against Woodbury Royals out of TCO. Hope to see you all there. Thanks again to Custom One Homes for use this equipment for this podcast. Thanks, folks. Baby, could you? I got too much on my mind right now. I ain't got the time to get you set.